Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, 768, Vyagra. We just had Pragraha and Nigraha, and now Vyagra, a name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This, in English, this was the name of some aphrodisiac drug or something. It was supposed to change the world and make everyone more sexy or something. I don't know what happened to that. But, well, the meaning of Vyagra is something that means it's got the idea of someone very active and dynamic, not sex-orientated. Agra is a common word, or well-known word, for those who have little knowledge of Sanskrit. It means first, at the front. Literally means at the front, in the beginning. And vi is an intensifier. So the dictionary meanings for this are given as restless, unsteady, intent on, exposed to danger, excited, alarmed, bewildered, as well as in the front, the first, the beginning. The meanings are given the idea of someone who's in the front of the battle. Sri Bhatta, Parashara Bhatta, he gives the meaning of Lord Krishna, taking the lead, being very enthusiastic to destroy the enemies of his devotees during the Mahabharata war. He took the lead. As a chariot driver, he goes before the chariot fighter, so he's in front. So he's in front. He's the first target for the arrows. He's right there out in the front. He didn't want to delay in seeing the matter yesterday, seeing the matter be expedited. Yesterday, in discussion of the name Nigraha, I was quoting that verse, Kalaksmi Kshaya. I'm time in the form of destruction. Parashara Bhatta quotes from Mahabharata in this regard what Krishna says to Satyaki as Krishna is about to go and attack Bhishma, breaking his own promise. And it's also really breaking the rules of Dharma. There's not much emphasized. There are so many breaking of the rules of Dharma in Mahabharata, but the chariot driver should not, just as the chariot fighter is supposed to attack the other chariot fighter and not the chariot driver per se, although that happens all the time we find in the Mahabharata war, is the duty of the chariot fighter to protect the chariot driver. Now, Krishna, the charioteer, is not supposed to join the battle per se. Traditionally, they're shudras. They have a job to. Everyone has their job to do, and his job is to drive the chariot. Of course, Krishna, in another sense, as a kshatriya, he did have the prerogative to fight. But then again, because he had vowed not to fight, it was breaking his promise, breaking dharma. But Krishna said to Satyaki, Ye yanti yantyeva shini pravira, ye vasthita satvaram te piyantu, bhishmam ratat paschata patyamanam dronang cha sankye sagarna mayadya ratat aplutya visraja vahan. The translation is given, O Shini Pravira, the great hero in the Shini dynasty, referring to Satyaki. Those who have gone have gone forever. Those who are still left, let them all go at once, immediately. In other words, those who have died, they're finished. And those who are left, let's finish them too. You will now see, continuing the translation, you will now see that Bhishma is thrown from his chariot and also Drona with his army. And then saying this, Krishna, he jumped down from the chariot, leaving the horses, leaving his duty as a chariot driver to advance, to go forward, Vyagra, against Bhishma. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan gives a similar meaning here. Sri V.V. Ramanujan gives the same quote from Mahabharata, but he translates it somewhat differently. He describes the scene, the Pandava forces are all confused by Bhishma's attack. They're thrown into panic as Bhishma is just annihilating the Pandava forces and looks like he's about to kill Arjuna also. And see, the ye yanti yanti eva, those who have gone forever. So he gives this, but that's the one translation. Those who have died, they've gone. But those who are running, so that can also mean those who, they're going. Those who have gone, they've gone. So another translation, those who are running away, because the Pandava forces, they're running away from Bhishma, forgetting their Kshatriya Dharma. It happened several times during the battle, but that Bhishma was fighting so terribly, Drona was fighting so terribly, Bhima was fighting so terribly. It happened several times that the forces on each side became bewildered and started running here and there, as seeing everyone on their own side being destroyed. So those, let those who run keep running, and let the remaining watch me defeat Bhishma and Drona. And then he jumped down and got into the, ran toward with the, that's another famous name of Krishna, comes in the Bhagavatam, Ratangapani. In his hand, Pani, he has the part of the chariot, that's the wheel. So there's Krishna, he's running, you know. No, no. That's it. When you're in a battle, it's not exactly like a chess game. A chess game, you have time to think, but in a battle, not necessarily. You just have to. In a long battle, a long drawn out battle, you may have some time to think about some things, but when the fight is on, you have to take split second decisions, which can give you defeat or victory. Sometimes you may take a gamble in a battle, in a naval battle, in the times of sailing ships. Then you, according to the wind, you sail out and attack. But then if the wind drops or changes direction, then you may be in a disadvantageous position. You can't say. It's hard to say. So, the point being made here is that Krishna doesn't delay when it comes to protecting his devotees by getting rid of the enemies. He'll be right there. He'll be right there in front. There's a time for planning, a time for deliberation, and the Pandavas and the Kauravas, the leaders, would come together every evening for planning and deliberation and everything. But they weren't just sitting. It's not like today, the big generals, they're sitting and planning, and then they're sitting in the bunker while the men are out fighting. Nowadays, it's the men and women. The women, yeah, they're also in combat. Strange world. But the Pandavas, they weren't just deliberating and, well, let's try and see if it goes wrong. You know, a few troops will be killed here and there. They themselves are most liable to be killed because they're right out in front. The Kshatriya code is if you go out into a battle, you should come back with some wound. At least you're not such a great warrior that you don't even get wounded. And even among in gangland, it's prestigious to have a scar on your face, scar face, someone may say. That means you've been in a knife fight. I know in Glasgow, when I visited there, this was the early 1970s, there was this knife culture. And now that's all over Britain, it seems. But street fights, gangs, fighting with knives, and you have a scar on your face, that's prestigious. The Kshatriyas, they would get a wound. And there are expert physicians. We find in the Mahabharata battle that the physicians were there. They would tend to the wounds and they had very potent herbs and mantras for healing. But the point here is that Krishna, he is very intolerant and very impatient, which are not good qualities generally, intolerance, impatience, but when it's Krishna protecting his devotees, yes. Yes. Krishna, he doesn't even think, should I be tolerant or intolerant, patient or impatient? Boom, he's out there. There's no question of patience. He's going to do the needful to protect his devotee. Of course, as long as Arjuna can fend for himself, Krishna, he doesn't treat Arjuna like a kid. Krishna's helping Arjuna. He wants Arjuna to have the credit. That's one reason that Krishna didn't personally fight. He wanted to give Arjuna the credit. Yeah, nimitta matram. You're actually just an instrument. I'm killing everyone, but you're an instrument, but you get the credit. Srila Prabhupada several times quoted that Krishna wants his devotee to get the credit. But when the job gets too tough, even for Arjuna, and that's possible when he's up against Bhishma, in the early part of the Bhagavad Gita as this commentary, Srila Prabhupada writes that Bhima and Arjuna were just like figs compared to Bhishma. Wow, that's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing seeing as Arjuna single-handedly defeated all the Kauravas, including Bhishma and Drona, at Virat. But when Bhishma's worked up, then as he himself said, Bhishma, in response to Duryodhana goading him to fight properly, he said, when I'm worked up, even all the demigods combined can't stand against me. And he got worked up. And then Arjuna was in trouble. And Krishna, he did whatever was required. And when Krishna's angry, you don't want to see that. Even the devotees, they may not want to see it. We know in the case of Nrsimhadev, even the devotees, the demigods, they were also, it's just frightening. Even when you know he's on your side, he's so angry, it's frightening. But Prahlad, he wasn't frightened. Everyone else was frightened. He's really, this name Bhishma or Bhima, they both mean terrible. So whatever qualities anyone gets, they derive from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's the supreme terrible among his other qualities. He's the supreme sweet, the supreme kind, the supreme beautiful, the supreme loving, the supreme protecting. Supreme protecting means, if need be, he's the supreme terrible also. Hiranyakashipu, what an experience. People do things for thrills, right? Evil Knievel and climbing mountains and scuba diving and driving at fast speeds. People do things for thrills. They put themselves up against danger. Oh, they get some adrenaline rush from that. Well, Hiranyakashipu, what kind of adrenaline rush did he get when there he is in his palace, everything's under control, conquered the universe, Indra's shivering in fear somewhere far away, and now this Prahlad has become a pinprick and is becoming worse than a pinprick, but still Hiranyakashipu's in control. All of a sudden, the supreme, terrible, ferocious, angry Nrisimha appears, and what kind of emotion did Hiranyakashipu feel? It's one thing to watch an action movie. It's another thing to be right there in the action. People go to watch war movies, but to be in a real war, it's no fun, actually. For the Kshatriyas in a dharmic war, they take pleasure, but it's a terrible kind of pleasure. It's all Bhayanak Rasa, Vira Rasa, Bibhatsa Rasa, all these rasas which they are described as being, some of them in some ways can correlate with Madhur Rasa. And under special circumstances, even Bibhatsa Rasa could do, but in generally, that feeling of disgust and just horror, and what a sensation. You go to a horror movie, but do you really want to do black magic? Don't do black magic. It'll come back on you, for sure. It's a real thing. Don't do it. Don't even think of it. Left-wing tantra, invoking spirits, don't do it. Invoke the Supreme Spirit, Sri Krishna, by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We'll get some great sensation. There'll be some strong emotion, very strong feelings we'll get from coming in contact with the lower level spirits, but that is really fearful, horrible. Whatever gain you might think you get from it, it's really not worth it. It's really, really not worth it. Another meaning of the name Vyagra, he who has no end. He has no end. I said is an intensifier. It can, another meaning or another way this prefix V is used is in the form of negation. So Agra means the beginning, so he has no beginning, no end. This is how Shankara says this. So in that way, it's a synonym for ananta, without any end. Satyadeva Vashishta, with his usual interpretations of how the Supreme Lord Vishnu is involved in the machinations, the working of the universe, gives another derivation from the Sanskrit altogether. Vividham gamanam yo vidhate sa vyagra uchate. He moves around in many different ways. Everything that moves, everything is moving. Gachatiti jagat. The very dictionary definition of jagat, the universe, is that which moves. So everything in the universe is in a constant state of motion, in a constant state of flux, and things move in different ways. There are different kinds of energies. We say radio waves, gamma waves, sound waves, light waves, and then there are subatomic forces. So that all the energies are moving. These different energies can be understood in that they move in different ways. The waves move in different waves, different ways, and in this way they have different manifestations and effects. And apart from that, we see that different species move in different ways. Even the birds, we say birds fly, but they all the different species, they all fly in somewhat different ways. They don't all fly in the same way. A chicken can hardly fly at all. An ostrich can flap his wings, and that's about it. Then you get some birds like Arctic terns. They do fly. That's why they're called Arctic terns. They fly from the north to the South Pole annually. So how they fly, and you see the way gulls fly and swans fly and crows fly and sparrows fly and kestrels are hovering. They all fly in different ways. The snake, that way he moves. Bhujanga, they go along. Bhujanga is a name for snake. It means moves on the earth, although some they swim in the water also, and some we've heard they fly in the sky as well. So all the different species, they move in different ways. Some can bore through wood. The earthworms make their way through earth. We think we're very advanced. Now we have earth boring machines, but the earthworms do it all the time. That's what they do. So Satyadeva Vashishtha makes the point that in all these different movements of the different living beings and the different components of the universe, see Krishna, see Vishnu, see Vishnu. See Vishnu, he's at work. We have in Gita several statements that Tejo Tejasvinamaham, I am the Teja, the brightness or the illumination or the power or the force of those who possess such things. Balang Balavatang Chaham, I've been quoting this, I'm the power of the powerful. Prabhasmi Shashi Suryoho, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. There are so many ways we can see Krishna just all around us. Sometimes people ask, have you seen God? The answer has to be yes, and you've also seen. It's just that I recognize and you don't recognize, that's all. And Srila Prabhupada often quoted that, how can you not see God? If you just take a little instruction from God, Srila Prabhupada gave the example. This, I quoted that, Prabhasmi Shashi Suryoho, the first words of that verse, Rasoham apsukonteya, I am the taste of water. So Srila Prabhupada says, everyone drinks every day. You might not drink water, you might drink wine. Whatever it is, it's based on water. And the taste of that is Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada said, how can you not see God? If you just learn this little formula, then we can see God everywhere and in everything. And Satyadeva Vashishtha, by translating or giving meanings of these names, gives many different details of how we can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead everywhere, at every moment, in everything. Now, another of the commentators, Satya Santa Yati Raja, translates the name in a different way. Avyagra, which means he's not confused, which seems to make more sense. If we say Vyagra means confused, it can mean confused. In the sense that when someone's at the front, one of the meanings of agra means confused in the sense that someone is out there in the front. He's going ahead, and there are many different paths you can follow, and he becomes confused knowing which one to choose. That's right from Amarakosh, from the authorized Sanskrit dictionary. So Satyasandha Yatiraj, because you can do that in Sanskrit when two words are joined up and there's a dirgha, a long A joining them, then you can cut it up or otherwise also, according to Sandhi Samas. The Avyagra, one who is not confused. One who is not confused. That's the general understanding of God. If God becomes confused, I mean, we're really in trouble, aren't we? I mean, we're really in trouble. We're looking to him to take us out of confusion. Our whole confusion is because of not knowing him. And then if he becomes confused, then how can it be God? Who's confusing him? What is confusing him? And of course, at this point, we have to take a jump from Kurukshetra. Now, of course, when Krishna was present here, there was no Delhi there, but in between Kurukshetra and Vrindavan, if we're talking about geographically, the map of India, there's Kurukshetra is in Haryana, and Delhi is its own little state. And then just about the same distance northwest of Delhi that Kurukshetra is, must be what, north-northwest, and Vrindavan is south-southeast. So it's almost a straight line. It's about the same distance from Delhi. So if we take a little jump from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan, we may find that Krishna, he's confused in Kurukshetra in the sense that he's wild in attacking Bhishma. And he's confused in Vrindavan also in a very different way. In confused, love confused. What shall I do? Many paths. What shall I do? How? Sri Radha has rejected me. What shall I do? He becomes confused. Seeing the beauty of Radha, or even thinking of the beauty of Radha, he becomes confused, picks up his flute and starts to play it, but it's backwards. Or he tries to milk a bull. He becomes a laughing stock. God becomes a laughing stock, the confused God. But as Vishnu, he is not confused. Vishnu is not confused. Krishna is confused. This is not very commonly discussed topics, not to be discussed much. Now, I'm discussing, but presumably those who are listening in, they're all, in most, they're going to be well versed in Srila Prabhupada's books and the understanding of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, who's going to be interested to listen to all this stuff? If I give a talk on Vyagra, how to increase your sexual capability, I might get many listeners. Maybe not, due to the color of my cloth. But I'm just making the point. If we speak what people want to hear, people are confused, they're really confused, and they're in Maya, then we can get many followers. If we speak what people need to hear, then not many. But we're talking these things with the, and not going very deeply into it, but just making the point that this, the most wonderful aspect of Krishna is that he becomes confused in the presence of Radha, and he becomes confused even more in the absence of Radha. And she also becomes confused in his presence and in his absence. Vrindavan Leela is very confusing. It's so confusing that many great Vaishnavas, they don't even want to admit that it exists, or they can't really work it out at all. And Krishna himself can't work it out at all. And it's beyond working it out. It's beyond Vishnu Sahasranama. Yeah? We have to understand Krishna as the supreme great for his Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashasya, Sriha, Gyanavairagya, Yaschaiva, Shandang Bhaga Itingena. We have to understand how Krishna is great by his opulences and overlordship, his power and his majesty, his fame and his glory, his beauty, his knowledge, and his renunciation. We have to understand all that. And then we come to Krishna. And then it's another dimension altogether, which is not to be, this is really avang manasa gochara. In the Vedas, in Vedeshu Durlabham, Krishna is hard to understand by the Vedas. But there are indications of Vrajalila, even in the Vedas, even in the Upanishads. Avang manasa gochara, that beyond the scope of words to describe and the mind to understand. Yes, this refers to impersonal Brahman, but much more so to Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, and much more so to Vrindavan Leela. So it is there, even in the Vedas. Everything's in Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of the Vedas. Nigama Kalpataro Galitam Palam. Everything's there. Radha is there, the gopis are there. You're saying, where? I don't see Radha or Lalita or Vishakha, I don't see. It's all there. But Shukadev Goswami spoke it in such a way that those who are rasikas, they know how to open it up. And that's, even in mundane poetry and drama, there are so many subtleties in language and gestures, that's why drama means gesture also, so many, which can be understood by those who are rasika, those who, talking about mundane now, they can understand the subtleties. So in the spiritual rasa, to understand the subtleties, we can study rasa shastra, we can study the science of rasa as given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami, but really it's not so much a matter of understanding with the brain. It's avang manasa gochara. It's beyond the mind in the sense of the intellect. But when one comes fully to self-realization, I mean, when one's gone beyond the material senses, mind, and intelligence, then with full blossoming of the self is in Vrindavan. And not everyone will go there. Even the Upanishads themselves, they also, they get the point. Oh, wow. Here we are, we're the Upanishads. What are we doing being the Upanishads? Let's become gopis! And they become gopis in Vrindavan. Also, yeah. Upanishads are also people. And they become gopis in Vrindavan. Great rishis, very detached from the world. See Lord Rama. Oh. And the desire arises in their heart. Oh. Just Sita is loving him. Can we emulate that love? Can we partake in that to some extent? Rama says, yes, but I'm not going to marry anyone except Sita, and I'm not like Krishna, who has so many lovers. You come back next time. I'm coming again. You come and join me then. Krishna is all attractive. Then another meaning based on avyagra. Without, yeah, this is Vishnu, back to Vishnu Sahasranama now, and not so much way beyond Vaikuntha. It means somewhat without an inquiry into the sense that Caesar's wife is above suspicion. She is above suspicion. Not only she should be, but she is. So in this case, he doesn't do things improperly. Very proper Vishnu. Unquestionable. The question should not even arise in the mind about such a person. So that is Vishnu. Questions arise about Krishna. And the questions can be answered, but the questions do arise. Another meaning, if it's taken that he's out in front destroying, well, another meaning is avyagra, he was not destroyed. There's no question of destruction for him at all, of any kind. We may say, well, that's true of the soul also, the atomic soul, as Srila Prabhupada calls it, the individual souls. Avinashi, that word is used there in Bhagavad Gita, indestructible. But the atomic soul does come in contact with matter and identifies with a body which is destructible. But for Krishna, there's no such thing. He's never destroyed in any way whatsoever. Now, another meaning is that he's at the front. We've had the meaning so far. He's at the front. That's one meaning. And a meaning connected with movement. So putting these together, another, and this is all quite acceptable according to Sanskrit derivations. He moves on the back of Garuda, and specifically he's at the front. He's not lying down on the back of at the back of Garuda. He's right there at the front on his shoulder, because Garuda as a bird flies with his head first, and then Krishna's right there at the front part. And many times he'll stand as he's flying because he's so anxious, just like he's coming to save Gajendra. And he's right there. He's coming quickly. He's right there. He's standing because he's so anxious to deliver his devotee Gajendra. And Garuda is able to fly so fast. Why? Because of that energy and inspiration he gets from Vishnu. So these are some of the ideas or realities given by the Vaishnav commentators. And another one, he's right out there in giving the results to his devotees. That means he frees them from birth and death. Achirat, very without delay, without a long time, Krishna, he'll deliver one from the ocean of birth and death. He's right out there. He's cheering us on. Come on, yeah, let's come on. He's out there to deliver. He doesn't drag out the process over a long period of time. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavam mam prapadyate. After many, many births, one may come to the perfection of the system of jnana, speculative knowledge, and then surrender to Krishna. But for one who surrenders to Krishna, Krishna doesn't say it takes many lifetimes. Zoom! Just like that, Krishna's willing to deliver us immediately. He's right out there in front. He's right out there in front of our eyes, but we don't see him because our eyes are blinded by ignorance and they need cleaning up. Premanjana. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaiva hridyeshu vilokayanti yang shyama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Our eyes are covered by ignorance. Agyanati mirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. This is a generic prayer to Guru who removes the covering as in a cataract. A cataract means there's a growth over the eye. The eye function, there's nothing wrong with the eye function, but it's covered by a layer of something resembling skin. So that has to be removed and then one can see clearly. By application, shalaka means an instrument for gyananjana shalakaya. Gyan, the anjana, the medication of knowledge is applied with the instrument called the shalaka. So what is that? Anjan, premanjana. There's gyananjana shalaka and we have premanjana. We also have the knowledge removes ignorance, but then prem, the salve of love allows us to see Krishna within our heart all the time with his beautiful blackish form composed of inconceivable transcendental qualities. And Krishna wants that we shall see him, live with him, play with him, dance with him, steal his lunchbox, and much worse things too. He comes right here to this world which is dukhalayam ashashvatam. Everything here is miserable and temporary. Krishna has no business here, but he comes here being very eager to deliver his devotees. And in this way, we offer our obeisance to him out of his great kindness. We offer obeisance remembering him as Vyagra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's right out there in front, confused, non-confused, terrible. All qualities are there in Krishna. Therefore, he has 1,000 names, 1,000,000 names, and unlimited names. Every word, every emotion that every living being feels at every moment, that's all can be understood in relation to Krishna. Unlimited. That's another meaning of Vyagra. All glories to He, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya ivacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya churnakang padayone patya kritva chaka kushatameta da hum bravimi he sadhava sakale eva vihaya durat goranga chandra charne guruta anuraga. Parivadatu jano yatatata va nanumokorona vayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madhirama dati mata bhuvi vilotama natama nirvisham. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As an addendum, an afterthought, Vyagra, another meaning, is eager, and that is the common usage up to the present day in Bengali, although the pronunciation is somewhat different. So Krishna is very eager in his pastime. Actually, everything he does, he's not a sloppy, lazy, miserable person, Krishna. Whatever he does with a lot of enthusiasm. Happy life. Krishna is happy. Happiness begins with enthusiasm. So Krishna is very eager, especially he's very eager to serve his devotees, and he is very eager to meet with Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan. So that's a Gauriya angle on Vishnu Sahasranam. If we look carefully, we'll find Vrindavan everywhere. What to speak of in Vishnu Sahasranam?